Good to see everybody with us this morning. Appreciate it very much hearing you sing out in praise to the Lord. It encouraged me and uplifted me. It really does. I can tell that your heart is into it, which just means so much to me. So thank you very much. We do have several who are visiting with us this morning. No strangers to the congregation here. Nonetheless, visitors, it is good to see you all with us. Thank you so much for being here. We will pray for your all safe return home. When you do leave, I want to encourage and invite everybody to follow along this morning with the things that we will have to discuss. Now, in the sermon last Lord's Day morning, we were talking about marriage. Just a two-part sermon talking about marriage according to Peter from 1 Peter chapter 3. And last Lord's Day morning, we spent our time focusing upon the wives as Peter does in verses 1 through 6. This morning, we're going to consider what Peter has to say about the men in verse 7. We will get to that in just a few moments, but I do want to start the way that we started the sermon last Lord's Day morning. Just this reminder, particularly as we consider our time today, our society where marriage is not held in very high esteem, is scorned sometimes, is mocked sometimes, is redefined on a pretty regular basis. We do want this reminder. The single most important human relationship that human beings can share with another human being is the marriage relationship. The husband, the man, and his wife, the woman. It's the very first relationship that God ever established. We find it all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. Now, when we think about marriage, and particularly the roles that exist within the marriage relationship, one of the first things that tends to jump out to us, and we did talk about this last Lord's Day morning as we focused upon Peter's instructions to the wives, is the idea of submission. And we tend to think of submission in the marriage only going one way, the wife to the husband. But I want to say something to you. You may not have thought of this much. You may not have really even noticed it. That is not true. Now, what is very true is the submission that exists within the marriage relationship comes with different roles. But when we talk about marriage, particularly as it relates to Ephesians 5, a lot of times we pick up in verse 22. And there's a very simple reason for that. In most of our Bibles, the publishers, they like to help us out. And so they will put in big, bold letters right there between verses a heading, right? And between 21 and 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, you may see husbands and wives. There's nothing wrong with that because Paul is going on to discuss husbands and wives. But there may be a tendency among us to imagine that he's beginning a completely different train of thought at that point. And anything that has come prior doesn't have really much to do with what comes next. That is not true. The very last thing Paul said before moving into 22 is this: submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I want to say something to you, beloved, and I want us all to get this. That applies every bit as much within the marriage relationship as it does in any other relationship. We'll talk more about that as we go, and we will bear in mind this submission is seen in different roles within the marriage relationship. But husbands, understand this. When we are fulfilling our role, when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we are submitting to our wife out of reverence for Christ, which is precisely what Ephesians 5 and verse 21 says.
And what we're going to see this morning as we focus upon Peter and what Peter says in verse 7, it's going to be difficult, brethren, not to be impressed, not to be touched, moved with God's concern over how the wife is treated by her husband within that relationship. I want to say something to you, ladies, before we go on. In today's society, where we constantly hear about the old standards, and so often that's talking about Scripture, people who use language like this. The old standards, it takes away the power of the woman. It lessens her. I want to say this to you. The gospel raises you up to the position God intends for you to have. The position He has always intended for you to have, as cherished, as honored, as loved. And we're going to see that as we go on this morning. This is what 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And we're going to break this down as we go and consider it in each of its parts. He starts off here with be understanding. The first part of verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Jackie and I just, on April 1st, celebrated our 13th anniversary. I was smart. I will always remember April 1st. April Fool's Day. That's an easy one. One of the things that I guess I always knew theoretically, but became much more practical very quickly, is that men and women don't tend to think the same. Things matter more to us than may matter to them, or some things matter more to them than to us. We tend to approach things differently. And at first, there's a lot of, I don't understand what she's thinking. And I don't understand where she's coming from. And I don't understand why this matters to her. One of the great pleasures in life for the husband is getting to learn that. Learning what she thinks. Learning how she views things. Learning about her moods. Learning about her desires. Learning about her weaknesses. Learning about her strengths. Learning why she thinks the way that she thinks. Learning why she does the things that she does. Why she believes the way that she believes. Coming to understand her. And when we do that, and let me be the second to say, because Jackie will be the first. I am not perfect in that area. Not yet. But as we work at that, and as we learn that, two things begin to happen. Number one, we begin to understand her better. But number two, it better equips us to just live in an understanding way. And that's the aim, that's the goal. But I want to tell you something. That doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen overnight. And one does not stumble into that within the marriage relationship. Men, we've got to work at this. We really do. We've got to work at this. We have to want to understand her. We have to want to live with her in an understanding way. And I want to tell you this, God cares about this, men. God cares about this, cares deeply about it. The way that we love her, the way that we strive to understand her. There is a passage in the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament, at least in our English Bibles. Turn over to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Now this is, we are told, one of the most difficult passages for the Hebrew translators to translate into English. And so there tends to be a lot of variety here depending upon the translation you're reading. Yet the thought and the problem in God's mind as it relates to His people is clear. And it has to do with the way the husbands were treating the wives. Picking up in 13. God is speaking. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning because He no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, well, why does He not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did He not make them one? With a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and do not be faithless. There were problems there. The men were not treating their wives correctly. It even got to the point where they were just divorcing them and just putting them away. But I can tell you part of the issue was this, and what led to this problem. They were not living in an understanding way with their wives. They were not trying to learn what moves them. They weren't trying to learn how they think, why they think that way. They were selfish. They were focused on themselves. And God said that made them faithless to the wife of their youth. You see, men, He cares about this. He's watching us within our marriage. And if we are not dwelling with our wives in an understanding way, God knows that. And we'll get to what the repercussions of that are as we come to the end of the sermon. Peter is calling upon us, and this is God speaking through him. We're being called upon to dwell with our wives in an understanding way, in a way where we show honor. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. You think of honor, and you think of a lot of different passages. We are to honor our parents. A lot of people we're supposed to honor. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul there is talking about the responsibility of the children to the parents. You may recall, obey your parents, respect your parents. What he's talking about, he said it's the first commandment with a promise that you may live long in the land. We are to respect and to honor our parents. We are to respect and honor our brethren. Over in Romans 12 and verse 10, do you remember how he puts it almost like a competition? Outdo one another in showing honor. We respect one another. Honor one another. We should do that. And over in Romans chapter 13, the very next chapter, Paul shows that we are to honor those who are in authority. And brethren, this is not the scope of this sermon, but let me say this. He did not add, if you like them, and if they're of the political party that you also are of. We show them honor, period. That's what God said. But I do want to say this. There is no human being on the face of this earth, and I'm talking specifically to us, to those men of us who are husbands. There is no human being on the face of this earth that we are called upon to show more honor to than our wives. And when you think about that word honor, what exactly are we talking about? We are talking about esteem, the way that we esteem her, the way that we value her. And another idea there is prize. And I really like that idea because I think it's getting right to the heart of this. When we are honoring our wife the way that we are called upon to do it, we are prizing her above all other human beings in our world. She is the prize. She is the one that we are called upon to show the greatest amount of honor to. Think about that. What a serious thing this is. He says there that we are to honor the woman as the weaker vessel. What exactly does that mean? Well, the word itself generally speaks of physically. And a general statement, most understand this and get it. Generally speaking, a wife is going to be physically weaker than her husband. There are exceptions to that. But generally speaking, that's the way that it was going to be. Particularly in the day and age in which this was written, there was a vast difference socially between a husband and his wife. We are told that if the husband were to die, or if the husband just simply decided, I will not fulfill my responsibilities, that wife was in dire straits when it came for her support and when it came to her ability just to continue living her life. The point is this. Though some things may change over the years, particularly as it relates to the social aspect of things, and beloved, regardless of what we are told or what we hear, there is absolutely no comparison between the state of women then and the state of women now. Socially, absolutely none. They are in much better condition today than they were then socially. But that doesn't change the responsibility of the husband. Not at all. This is what it means for us men, for those of us who are husbands. Our wife, when she looks upon us, when she comes home, whenever she sees us, she is coming home to a man that she knows loves her. To a man that she knows and can have confidence in. He is going to support her. He is going to protect her. He is going to lift her up. He is going to cherish her. And how far do we fall in a world when we begin to look at this and say, well, what God is saying then is that a woman is a second-class citizen. How far have we fallen, beloved, when that's how we respond to this? You want to talk about elevating someone, lifting someone up to a place of tremendous honor, to a place of tremendous respect, to a most cherished position. That is what God is saying, men, we are to do with our wives. Lift them up. Honor them. Cherish them. Love them. Protect them. Support them. Provide for them. That's what we are called upon to do. And our God knows whether or not we are doing it. Now, there are a lot of reasons, men, that we ought to be doing this for our wives. I want to list the one Peter gives. She's a fellow heir of the grace of life. Next part of verse 7 says, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. You know, God thinks so much of that woman. I'll make it personal. God thinks so much of Jackie that He has made her a fellow heir with me of salvation. I have been adopted into the family of God by the grace of God, and she has been adopted into the family of God by the grace of God. There is nothing in me spiritually, as God views us, there is nothing in me that makes me better than her. And there is nothing in her that makes her better than me. We are heirs together of the grace of life. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And when we get there, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Now listen to this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Now, he's talking there in the plural, particularly in verses 4 through 7 there. He's talking about what has been done for us in the plural. Within my house, Jackie and I, and Alexander as well as a Christian, but Jackie and I, for the sake of this sermon, we could say that. And just be including ourselves. There is nothing there that applies to me and does not apply to her. There is nothing about the salvation that God has graciously given to me that is not given to her. Every blessing I have from God related to my salvation, she has from God related to hers. It is us. It is we. Because she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. And how does God feel about His people? How does God feel when His people are mistreated? How do you think, husbands, God feels about that Christian wife whom He has saved being mistreated by her Christian husband, who more than anybody ought to know better and respect and honor and cherish her with everything that he is? You see how serious this is? Of all the things that Peter could have said as to why we are to honor, to cherish our wives, of all the directions he could have gone for giving a reason, he gave this one. She's in the family of God just as we are. What an extraordinary thought that is. Remember, I told you we were going to come back to some consequences, husbands, for not doing this. And Peter tells us it's hindered prayers. So that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, it is hypocritical of us, men, to call upon our God as if we were holy, as if we were living sanctified lives, while not showing the honor or the respect or the love to our wives that we owe her. It's hypocritical of us. I think there's a couple of thoughts to consider here as it relates to hindered prayers. Just first of all, if I as a husband began to treat Jackie with no honor, with no respect, and with no love, that would take the majority of my life. She's around me all that we're always together. She's the one that I'm with. And if I am living in that way, do you imagine there's going to be a lot of thought in my mind about praying to God? I sincerely doubt it, because mine is the life of a hypocrite. Well, I think prayers will be hindered in that respect, but I do think there's another respect, and I tend to believe this is where Peter is focusing. Conduct affects prayer. If you've got a marker over here in 1 Peter, take it over to chapter 4. You might just be able to look right across the page. And Peter's going to pick up this thought again. He's going to do it in verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, this is what he says there. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Conduct affects the efficacy of prayer, whether God will hear it, whether it will be effective, whether He will answer it. And we cannot go through our lives mistreating our wife, because I'll say it again,
That is not just a momentary sin. That is the person we live with, who's around us every day. We're around them more than we're around anyone else. If we are mistreating our wives, we are living a sinful life. Because it's not a matter of a moment here or there, it's a matter of life. And let us not think for a moment that our life with God and our life in the home are not intricately interwoven, because they clearly are. It's interesting when you consider God's instructions about elders. We're able to see that He views the home as a sort of training ground, as a place where we can prove that we are what we claim to be. And how wonderful, brethren, how wonderful when we are blessed to live in a home with another Christian. When the person closest to us in the world is also an heir of salvation. What a blessing that is. But we had better treat her right. Because God is. And He expects the same of us. He sees everywhere. And the home is no exception. Let's be reminded of this. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, this is going to be the last passage we're going to read this morning. And though it doesn't have anything to do in the context with marriage, it is a reminder to us, to all of us certainly, but for the sake of this sermon, to husbands especially, God is watching. And God is seeing everywhere and everything. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. Lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. God is in our homes. He is. He is in our homes. And when God sees me treating Jackie with honor and loving her and cherishing her, when I'm doing that, He is right there in the home to see it. But if I choose not to, He is right there in my home to see it. You know, in our time, one of the things that we as Christians often push back against is the entitlement mentality that exists today, and rightly so. People are very selfish. People believe they're entitled to pretty much anything, but I do want to say this, husbands, our wives are entitled to our honor, to our respect, to our love. Not because she is selfish and is claiming something that isn't hers by right, but because she is a fellow heir of salvation and she is claiming something that is hers by God-given right. We better make sure we take that to heart and treat her the way that we should. And I think every husband here who is striving in all things to please God will say, this is not a chore. This is the greatest blessing in human relationships that we have in this life. And we thank God for her every single day. So, men, How are we doing? Husbands, how are we doing? Let's commit to doing exactly as Peter said. He was guided by God. We will be helped by God. Let's treat her the way that the Lord wants her treated, just as Christ treats the church, as Paul said in Ephesians 5. There may be some here today who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you have the opportunity now to render your obedience to Jesus Christ. I know the sermon this morning was not about that specifically, about becoming a child of God, but I do want to give you that opportunity. If what we've talked about this morning sounds so wonderful to you, this relationship, when it is the way it's supposed to be, over in Ephesians 5, Paul said he's actually talking about Christ in the church. Yeah, it applies to the marriage relationship, but he was talking about Christ in the church. You know what that means? It means if you're not a Christian, you can enter into that relationship right now. And what a wonderful relationship it is if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ. You've taken the first step, but it is a first. There's more involved. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be baptized, immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. That's where you contact the cleansing blood of Christ. That's where you put Him on. Take that step. There may be some husbands here this morning who aren't living in this way and aren't treating their wives correctly. You have the opportunity to repent. But remember, repentance means change. Not just saying, I'm sorry. Change. Start today. Ask God for help. He'll give it. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.